broadcasting live worldwide.
This is UGN Jams.
Okay, good morning, welcome to UGN Jams, or good day, good evening, wherever you are in the world. You're checking out UGN Jams with Dave P, and we're here. A couple of weeks ago, a well-known pastor, Pastor Peter Nebhard of the Ark Church, as I understand, was admitted to hospital. And we're going to get into it, because I think this is an important thing you need to hear today, and I think you're going to be inspired by it, encouraged, and your faith is going to be lifted even higher. And when I say even higher, because we go through certain things in life where we think all is lost, but no, and God will say, that's not the way it's going to go. It's not your time yet. Good morning, Pastor Peter. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing good, thank you.
Well, you know what? It's really good to hear your voice today. And
good to be able to talk, bro.
I'm telling you, you know, the thing is, right? things, it took me by surprise. First, I got a text from a friend who saw something on Facebook. And they said, have you heard from Pastor Peter? Have you heard anything? I said, no. Then I thought, let me go and check his Facebook page. And then I saw a message from David Sasanya, you know, asking everybody to pray for you because you're not well. In matter of fact, you're ill. I tell you, and that really took me by surprise. And when I heard it was to do, you getting into hospital, I said to myself, no way. This can't be happening. I mean, it was so like, because I know you very well. And this is the thing, when you know someone, it really hits you really hard. Not that it doesn't, I mean, it hits anybody hard who knows someone really at the end of the day, but this one really got me. And I was in shock. I was really in shock.
That's
but you're here. So tell, I mean, you probably talked about it several times. Okay, and
really? I haven't been able to.
Okay, fair enough then. So I guess,
obviously, I've had the shortness of breath, so I've just taken my time, really. I've been at home for, I think it's 8 days today.
8 days today.
Yeah.
Okay.
What happened? I was unwell at home for about a week, like, but that's where I had the fevers, the coughing, but mainly the fevers. I mean, they were heavy fevers. And there was one night where Karis had to change me four times.
Wow.
I was just drenched, you know. But there came a time where I got two friends, Dee Fishpool and Ricky Otto, and both of them were really on me about just going hospital, you know. And I had a talk from Ricky. So I remember the night calling in my family and talking to them. Because I knew if I go into hospital, I'm not going to see them again. You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to be able to visit me. If anything happens, that's it. I'm gone by myself. Mm. So it was like a conversation with Karis and the kids. Like, I could stay here, fight it out, or I can go into hospital and third friends if something happens, that's it. I'm gone. You know what I mean? And my second daughter just decided to call the ambulance. No one was really making a decision. And then she just decided calling her, and she would say that my temperature was high and everything. So they took me into hospital. And then they put me on the COVID ward. Did the checks, COVID checks, but then they said that those checks, for some reason, didn't work. So they did it again. And then, but they did say, they're still going to treat me as COVID patient. And then the second checks came back. But yeah, I had COVID-19.
This is something where you said, when you spoke to your family, sort of like you're saying, you're saying goodbye. Did it feel that way?
It felt that way. The conversation felt that way, because it was like, I was saying to them, I don't know if they were picking up on it, but I was really saying to them, look, I'm here with you all right now. You're looking after me. I'm sick. But if I go into hospital, you're not going to see me. You know what I mean? Like, and if anything happens, that's it. Like, I'm gone. But I don't know if they were reading the conversation that way, but really, that's what I was saying to them. That's how it felt to me anyway. By that time now, this is where I started to get shortness of breath and stuff like that.
And when you was admitted to hospital, okay, yeah. and obviously, the treatment for you would have been really good, you know, where just like anybody else, where they're looking after you. And
I'm not sure. Now, I've never been one of them people, and I'm not going to do it now. And I've never done it in my life. I don't complain about hospitals, NHS, and all that thing. Never do it. But I think God gave me a couple of angel nurses.
Yeah.
Were just angelic. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think for the 11 days that I was in there, it was not like I had a doctor every day telling me, this is exactly what's happening with you, this is what we need to do, do you know what I mean? Like, and for the most part, I was in a room by myself.
Mm-hmm.
So it was pretty isolated. So it's not like, you know, you just want to hear, like, a doctor tell you, this is what's happening, this is where you're at, this is what we're doing, and, you know, I just wasn't hearing it enough.
We hear stories like that in terms of what you just said. You know, you go in and, you know, you may not see your family, you may not see anyone or your friends or anything like that again, or you may feel sort of lonely. I just need someone to talk to, a human being to talk to. Just come and talk to me. I need someone to talk to, interact with, you know, the thoughts in your mind. Let's talk from a spiritual point of view, okay?
Yeah.
Great pastor, great preacher, very renowned in the word, and also you've got oh my goodness, your young people at the Ark Church who are just really on the level where they need to be in terms of like serving God. Mm-hmm. And you as a pastor now, inside, and you know, your young people are looking at you and praying for you really hard. And there must be some points where you must have thought, God, I'm ready to go now. You know, in terms of, were you ready to go? Did you think like that from a spiritual point? I'm ready to come home, ready to go home. Did you think like that?
I mean, jumping ahead, but I'm going to come back to that, I guess, toward the end. But one thing I must say, like, our church prayed, and people across the world, including yourselves.
Amen.
I mean, I had a lot of prayer. I think they also did 48 hours fasting. So it's, I'm learning all of this now coming out. Obviously in there, you know, I'm getting dripped information. People are praying. Texts, which was minimal because I think they were telling people not to text or call. But I think when in there, there was a moment where I did have a crisis where I thought, I'm going to die. Like, I literally thought, this is it, like, and I called up a friend of mine, and I asked him if he would take some notes of me, just some stuff I thought I need to put on paper, in case anything happened in terms of the church, my family, etc. And then I started to see, like, oh my gosh, if I die in here, like, no one's coming to my funeral. And I'm thinking, no, they got to do a memorial. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you're sitting in your memorial. Because you've got nothing to do in this. You're imagining your memorial service. You're literally sitting in your memorial. It was a strange kind of little period. But I think, I don't know, my friend, Pastor Mike White and David, a text.
Yeah.
And literally just pulled me out of that kind of mindset, that little crisis, and just hope again. There was a little period there where I thought, nah, I'm going there. Because I couldn't breathe. I was like, I couldn't breathe for myself, you know? And I wasn't sure. I wasn't eating in there properly. That's the hardest thing I've been through in my entire life.
Now
I've done 2.5 years in prison. I've lost my mum and my dad.
Yes.
And I've had 2 heart attacks, but that bit was like...
And this is the thing, because you're no stranger to certain things in your life at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. I mean, things have come upon you, know, ready to attack you, sometimes for no apparent reason at all. You're thinking, why now? Why now? And then this, I guess the biggest thing, because, as you said, you know, by yourself and anything could happen. And I mean, what can I really say? But, you know, you had, I mean, I know a lot of people have been praying really hard for you. And and this shows the value of someone's life, of their, you know, when you have integrity, this is what it's all about at the end of the day. Otherwise, people just wouldn't bother. Oh, let him go. That's it. Just leave it and done. But the fact is, of who you are and what you stand for as a man of God, and then a lot of people looking up to you. So now you're out of hospital, and are you kind of chilling, and are you doing as you're told, resting when you're supposed to rest?
Yeah, well, you know what, when I was in there, I remember that there was a nurse in particular, her name was Vargi.
Okay.
She was amazing. Like, she talked to me, you know what I mean? Like, and kind of just told me, right, your oxygen levels is this, we need to get it to this. So it kind of just gave me, you need to sit up.
Yeah.
There was a time they put me on a big respirator. He said, oh, you need to lie on your belly for 16 hours.
Wow.
Which was so uncomfortable. Got big best respirator. So her talking me through it and just being so, I don't know, she just talked. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Felt like I connected to another human.
Mm-hmm.
And she really just, I think, helped me. Like, okay, I'm in here. They're trying to help me. This is what they're doing. This is the plan. Do you know what I mean? I've got to get my... I didn't understand it all, you know.
Yeah.
Oxygen levels and all of that. But
I think in one of your... I think on your Facebook where you talked about spending 10 days in hospital with COVID-19, and you said something in that part of the line. You said, we can't... Well, we all take... We sometimes could take for granted, even breathing, we could take for granted sometimes. And that in itself, and we sort of go on a daily walk, don't we, and thinking, oh, I'm just alive and I'm breathing, I'm happy. But when it really hits you, just the difficult, I mean, it's so difficult to breathe, even that must have really put you through.
Because we do it so naturally, we take for granted. You know, like when you've got, not the big respirator on. Like, I had the big respirator on, obviously I can't do nothing. When you've got the other one on, the smaller one, then you need to eat. And literally you've got to just pull it up, put the food in your mouth and put it back down. Do you know what I mean? Because you're not breathing without it. Do you know? So you're gasping for air. So that was that whole 10 days process of just... It was all about breathing in there. It wasn't no fever, coughing. It was just a fight for breath for the 10 days in hospital and going on from... They moved me to two different wards. So that when I first went in there, they moved me on what they called the stage 3 ward, where this was critical. Then they moved me down to 2, but then they moved me back up to 3. And, yeah, and I remember praying. I'm like, yeah, I got to the stage where I need to go home. Like, I need you to heal me. Like, I was really just trying to bargain with God. And then they came and they said, right, we think your oxygen levels is enough. I think it was at 97. That you can go home, but we're going to do a blood test just to see through the bloods whether your oxygen's, and they did blood, which I had done like injection, or needles. But I remember at one stage, I remember there was two nurses on me. One was on the left hand and one was on the right hand, both trying to find a vein in my arm, you know? And then they managed to find a vein, took the blood, and then they said, nah. Your oxygen in your blood is not enough.
Oh, wow.
And so I couldn't, that just went out the window. Yeah, eventually sustained physiotherapy came along, took me on a walk on the ward to see, I still had the thing on, but just to see if I could walk.
Yeah.
And then they started to kind of measure me to see whether, and that's when I knew I'm going to go home. Right. I'll actually, I walked a little bit down the ward.
There are times, right, and I think you made it, I like the honesty, and I think a lot of people can connect with this one, where you said there are times when you felt like, you know, your faith was like sort of a low key. But then you had to really pull yourself back together again. I mean, that in itself, I mean, I know a lot of people can relate to this right now. What do I do? My faith is so weak right now. I just don't know. And and as long as you have that strong mind, that strong will to continue.
The thing is, like I said to people, it's not faith in God. Like, my faith in God never lost. Mm-hmm. It's not faith in my salvation. That it was just faith that I'm going to be alive. I'm going to make this. It's like, I'm going to come out of this. That was the challenge, not necessarily belief in God. Or if there was ever a time like, God, why has this happened to me? Why have you done this to me? I don't know if you exist, blah, blah, blah. Never about faith in him or faith in why it was, I'm going to die kind of thing. Mm. That hit me. Like, for a moment, for a day. And when you start seeing yourself at your own funeral, that's when you're in, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's not like, you don't do that normally, do you? Like, sitting there and imagining your own funeral. Mm. But that's where I was at one stage. Thank God for friends, and thank God for family, and thank God for the church family, for everywhere, every single where. I mean, I'm still getting messages all over the world. And that's why I think it's good to know people, meet people, and live good.
So true.
Just everyone was praying everywhere for me.
You know, when you was released from hospital, and beautiful thing, your 31st wedding anniversary. The wedding anniversary, and you know, your wife and your children being at home, and that must have been really one of the joyous occasions when you know you could be with family, and especially your wedding anniversary. That right there is also a miracle in itself as well, isn't it?
It was. I mean, I must say, I didn't get to really think about the anniversary. Mm. I was happy to be alive. Just being at home was a reminder that, my gosh, I'm alive. Mm. Seeing Karis, seeing my kids, that was just for me. So, I mean, we tried to have a meal together that night for the anniversary. I just couldn't even enjoy that because I'm just about now getting my taste buds back and being able to eat properly. So, and even going downstairs to join them to eat was work for me. Do you know what I mean? It was hard work.
Wow.
So I just didn't even enjoy going down. I had to be excused to come back up. Just getting back upstairs and lying down.
it was like that. It was, oh, wow.
Yeah, it was hard work. It was hard work. So as I'm saying now, I'm just this week trying to go downstairs more often and come back up, which is still work. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like, yeah, and just do me going and taking a shower is hard work, but I have to do it and get my breath back.
My goodness.
And stuff. Happy to be, like, alive. I'm happy to be with the family. Yeah, so just taking it easy. And the amazing thing too, Dave, was the church.
Yeah.
They just carry everything's fine. Do you know what I mean? Like, the pastoral care, the virtual life groups, the ministry groups, everyone's doing their bit. All the ministries are doing their bit. Everything's running and functioning.
Have you done a video yet to your church? Oh, you're going to do it anytime soon for your church, for them to see you?
Oh, that's on Instagram. Yeah. I sent a thank you yesterday. I did a video thank you yesterday.
Okay.
That's the first time they've actually seen me. It was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So I got some messages. Oh, it's good to see you. Yeah.
You know, when this is all over, and you know, with the climate we're in, and everything, well, the world has changed now. Everything has changed. So when we go back to our places, we go back to church. Could you imagine? And you only have to be there, and all of a sudden, the standing ovation, because you know, here again is another miracle. You know, which is just amazing. You know what God could really do, and keeping our minds straight, our faith together. You know, and the unity and the love we have for one another. This is where you talk about standing ovations, because we're celebrating or we're thankful to God for your life as it is.
And so I think, like, ultimately, God has a plan for my life that's not finished yet. Second of all, like, God obviously needs. You know, he said he sought for a man to stand in the gap.
Yeah.
He needs people to pray, doesn't he? And just people everywhere, including yourself and Helen, I'm sure, and just prayed for me. Like, so I think for me, going forward in life, I mean, I love people anyway, but it's just made me love people even more. Like, I feel like everyone I meet, like, I owe my life to. Do you know what I mean? Like, because you prayed for me in a time when I could have died. Do you know what I mean? So I think for me, when I do get out and then things lifted and I meet people again, I'll be so much more, and I am already, but I'm just even more appreciative of people because they prayed. In a time when I needed intercession, I needed people to be praying.
We know some didn't make it, and we have families who are still grieving right now. And you know, they can't even like go to bury their loved ones or their friends or whatever. They can't even see them. And this is, you know, I was thinking about this the other day, and I said to myself, this is really heartbreaking. It really
traumatic.
Is. You know,
it's trauma. It's trauma.
Yeah, and there's nothing when you sort of like when you just want to touch the person's hand and say goodbye, or you had a chance of seeing them, that connection. Nothing. Yeah. So I guess there will be a lot of counselling.
I think there's going to be a lot of trauma to deal with at the end of this. I don't know if people really relate that it's going to be trauma, but it's traumatic. I was watching a friend this morning. It was kind of live in Facebook Live, but he's buried his mum and like eight people at the church. I'm thinking, like, that's not how you want to celebrate your loved one, you know?
No.
And there's a family in my church who's... she lost her brother, but he went in hospital the same day as me. And he just, he didn't come out. So again, when I saw that, you know, I'm thinking, one, compassion for them, the family.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, gosh, man, that could have been me. Yeah. But yeah, I think there's a lot of trauma during this time. You know, loved ones dying and you can't be there. Been dying and you can't celebrate their life.
While you're here, what would you sort of encourage, you know, sort of encouragement for people now who've been there, who's going through it right now? What would your words be to sort of, let's say, help them through a situation, because it takes time as well, or for them to understand? And that might take time for it to sink in, because sometimes people don't get to hear that yet because they're in the moment right now. But whatever you say right now, what would the encouragement be, whether it sinks in later? I mean, I don't know. What would that be?
Yeah, I think one, like I said, you know, in all of this situation, my faith was never lost in God. I never questioned him. So I think one, just keep having faith in God. Just never lose that, because that's the strength. That's the firm foundation, you know. Just hold on to him. Two, just have people praying for you and lifting you up through this, you know. So just reach out to people. I think one of the things when I was going through was the communication that was going out on Facebook. I wanted it to be authentic communication. I didn't want it, you know, sometimes black people, we kind of, you know, sometimes people got cancer and it's just hidden. It's not said.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to make sure that people are praying with knowledge, and it's real information. It's not we're trying to hide something. Do you know what I mean?
Gosh,
so I was trying to, sometime during the time of hospital, just manage that bit. So I'd say to people, just be real about what you're feeling, what you're going through, so that people can really pray for you authentically. And the other thing I would say is when my mother died, like I did psychotherapy, did a bit of counselling, and I'll just say, you know, don't take those things for granted. Don't take trauma for granted. Like, I think sometimes we go through stuff and we just think we can handle it. I've just seen good psychotherapy or counselling or being in some kind of support group. Especially at the end of this, I just think people that have been through this trauma of this thing need support groups and need counselling to just make sense of it all. And you know, otherwise, I feel like I'm sorry if I'm going on a bit. Like when my mum died, I didn't want her death. I knew it was going to change me, but I didn't want to. I wanted to take charge of that change. I wanted to take charge of my emotional change. And I felt like if I didn't do the counselling, I would have become very bitter, maybe cynical about things in life and people. So doing the counselling, doing the psychotherapy helped me to manage my change there, because it was a transitional time. And I think even now, what I've just gone through has been traumatic. And when this is all finished, I think I will do some counselling as well, just to manage my change, you know? And just to make sure it's positive and not, it doesn't become something different.
Yeah. Thank you for that. And I liked what you said. Sometimes we need to acknowledge the good things, so people need to know what they're praying about. And I like what you put. And you know what? It's been such a pleasure speaking to you today. And looking forward to you being back in action. But rest is the key thing, first of all, for you. You know, I know you're a fit young man inside, saying, I'm ready to move. I could do this anytime. But you know, if I know you, I know you want to be moving around. But, God has a way that you need to rest. And other people will tell you that. And sometimes we have to apply wisdom to our life. Because God wants that, and it's a temple you have, really. It's only for now, until the time comes, and when we all, because everybody has to go one day, so, you know, at the end of the day, this is what it is, and I really do thank you for your time. Is there anything else you want to say to your members? Because I know they're going to be listening today. I understand your voice. So is there anything you want to say to your members?
I think only their messages, and for them just looking out for and loving each other, and for that ARC churches, just amazing bunch of people. But it's not just ARC, it's just the body of Christ, really.
Absolutely.
Churches, people, my brothers, my sisters, and you guys, and the great work that you and Helen are doing. Thank God for knowing you and for the platform and for what you lot do. So carry on doing what you do, Dave. Also, Helen, and love you guys.
Thank you so much. And remember, look out for the service online. It's at 11. I do believe it's at 11 o'clock because it's online at ARC Church, isn't it? ARC?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at 11 o'clock.
Yeah,
online on Sunday. You've been doing it for a long time anyway, that technology. But where we are right now, I think it's a great platform. And many people are searching in this current climate. I say current climate right now, but they're searching for something.
Definitely.
We're in a great position right now to give that to them in a nice, gentle way. If you know what I mean. Thank you so much for speaking to us at Eugene Jams,
No problem. Carrie said to say hello.
Carrie, where is she? People have to hear her voice. Where is she? People have to hear her voice today. I mean, come on.
Hello?
You can't hide from us because you know you're on radio. If the only thing we get you on radio like this, where you could just say hi to the public. Hi, Caris, how you doing? You all right?
Hi, I'm really well, thank you. How are you?
No, I'm not too bad. So a lot of people could hear you right now. They're hearing your voice for Sunday, so it's good. So you're okay. You're good.
Yeah,
good.
I am now.
Of course you are. You got your husband back. You got your life partner. You got the best friend. You got your lover back. That's all you need. Yeah, you're happy, of course.
That's right.
Wonderful.
That's right.
So you got a big smile on your face, haven't you?
I have. I can feel it on the phone.
Oh, it's just fantastic, isn't it? Listen, peace and love to all of you, and God continue to bless you and keep you guys. Mm-hmm. Healthy, and that is so important. All right, do look after yourself,
Thank you so much.
You are welcome. All right. You take care and tell the man himself, look after himself, and he must rest.
Yeah, definitely. He finally got the email.
Yeah, good. Good. Excellent. All right, then. Take care.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Broadcasting worldwide online 24/7.
This is UGN Jams.